Blog Talk Radio.
With the way things are going in America today, the president is out of control, and he's got his minions going crazy, locking up people left and right down in Oregon, telling people, oh, no, I'm not happy. They only got 3 years. Sentence enhanced them folks and lock them up for five. Give them the terrorist sentence enhancement and get them crackers back in jail. Send them back to prison and make their sentence 5 years. I don't care that they've been sentenced to three. Put them white people back in prison and make it longer. That's right. We no longer live in a constitutional America. We live in an unconstitutional, unmoored, and unhinged America. And it's time that we turned things around. Chairman Malbama plans to come back from his Hawaiian paradise, plans to take executive action to take away our natural rights. And that just isn't so. But he believes that he can. He sees himself as a deity because he and his Iranian handler, Valerie Jarrett, have deemed it to be. For she, like Wormtongue and Tolkien's Lord of the Rings, have professed it to be. She has spent her life in telling him all of the things that cannot be. And that is why here at Freedom Outlaw Radio and our affiliate, the Rebooting Liberty Radio Network, at live.rebootingliberty.com, the first, last, and only name in Liberty Radio, you will hear the truth. So I want you to pay attention, folks, because it's time that not only do we call these people out, but that we stand, that we unite, that we get up and we fight, because we are lions. And we should never lose sleep over the opinions of sheep. Everybody wants to be a lion until it is time to do lion shit. But there are people in Oregon that are doing just that. They are doing lion shit. And I want to point out to you, words of country legend Merle Haggard, who said, in 1960, when I came out of prison as an ex-convict, I had more freedom under parolee supervision than there's available in America right now. Now let that sink in. 56 years ago, Merle Haggard, as a ex-con under parolee supervision, had more freedom than he has right now in America. Now, ain't that some shit? We have let our freedoms be eroded, and it is time that we started doing some lying shit and stand up. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. I'm here to tell you, folks, it's time. Ted Nugent said it. It's do or die. This is the year. And it ain't no lie. When our Constitution was written, there was a huge fight between the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists over whether or not to include a Bill of Rights. James Madison, in response to calls from several states, wrote up constitutional protections for our individual liberties. The Virginia Declaration of Rights, written by George Mason, strongly influenced Madison. One of the many points of contention between the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists was the Constitution's lack of a Bill of Rights that would place specific limits on government powers. Federalists argued that the Constitution did not need a Bill of Rights because the people and the states kept any powers not given to the federal government. Anti-Federalists held that a Bill of Rights was necessary to safeguard individual liberty. Madison, then a member of the U.S. House of Representatives, went through the Constitution itself, making changes where he thought most appropriate. But several representatives, led by Richard Sherman, objected that Congress had no authority to change the wording of the Constitution itself. So Madison's changes were presented as a list of amendments that would follow Article 7. The House approved 17 amendments. The Senate approved 12. Those 12 were sent to the states. Of those 12, 10 were approved or ratified. Those became the Bill of Rights. And the full text of the Bill of Rights are as follows. Follow along with me, because I think it's important. And you may shrug your shoulders, and right now you may be shaking your head and go, I know these. Well, you know what? You know them through the eyes and ears of the left, the leftist media, and the ACLU. When was the last time you actually read the original text? That's what I thought. The First Amendment reads, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. You know what that means? It means that Congress shall make no law establishing a state religion, a national religion. They shall not deem that we have to practice Sharia law, Catholicism, or any other national religion, or a religion, period, or that we shall be atheists, period. It says that Congress will stay out of religion. Not that there'll be a separation of church and state, just that there will be no government-sanctioned religion, and that the government will not prohibit the free exercise of one's religion. So you're free to worship as you please, even if you worship a giant spaghetti monster. Or abridge the freedom of speech, meaning the government won't interfere with free speech. Or, as Dirty Lenny said, fuck the government. Because without that word, you can't say it, or of the press, because we need a free press, because without it, like me, can't say what I just said, or the right of the people to peaceably assemble, because without the First Amendment, we couldn't peaceably protest, or to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Now, our founders did make a mistake with the First Amendment. We can petition the government for a redress of grievances. But during the Clinton administration, the Supreme Court ruled that because the First Amendment did not state that Congress had to respond to the petition for redress of grievances, we weren't supposed to get a response. So Congress can ignore those petitions for redress as deemed by the Supreme Court of the United States, a leftist Supreme Court, as appointed by pimpin' Bill Clinton. A big reason why we should not allow another Clinton into the White House. Because surely our founders' intent, when you go back through the Federalist Papers and the Anti-Federalist Papers, was for a redress of grievances to be presented and responded to. Otherwise, why would they have allowed for redress of grievances? It's kind of like saying inmates on death row can file appeals, but we don't need to have a court to answer them. So if you're going to allow for petitions for redress of grievances, obviously, logic would say you can have them answered. Moving along, the Second Amendment, one that's going to be a point of contention, and one that Barack Obama and his Iranian handler, Valerie Jarrett, should pay close attention to, because this will be the flame that starts the fire that will burn their asses. It reads, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. That means the states to be free. Because the Declaration of Independence, if you look at the first line of the original handwritten declaration, said the United, and United was a small U, meaning that the states were uniting independently to come together. They weren't a collective united with a big U. They were independently granting their authority together. And this means they were independently secure, but separate. So they wanted a regulated militia to be secure as a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, and it would not be infringed, so that they could rebel against a tyrannical government. Mr. Obama and Ms. or near Ms. Jarrett, whatever you happen to be. Pretty clear. We get guns. You get to behave. Don't even think of trying to take them, regulate them, or infringe upon them. Boom. Or I should say, click, click, boom. The Third Amendment, no soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in the manner to be prescribed by law. Yeah, nothing to worry about there. Let's just move right along. Fourth Amendment, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized, unless you're traveling through the airport or you're making a phone call or you're on the internet or you're listening to this or you're sending an email or a text or doing anything that the NSA wants to do, because they did this thing called the Patriot Act, and now they're just violating the Constitution willy-nilly, and basically we're living in a lawless society, and screw you, America. Moving along to the Fifth Amendment, no person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for use without just compensation. Unless, of course, you fall under the auspices of NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, and they decide to just lock your ass up without habeas corpus because, well, under the Patriot Act and the National Defense Authorization Act, the government has suspended your habeas corpus and can just do that because, well, we're a constitution-free zone now. And, well, frankly, our government has stopped abiding by the Constitution and no longer holds grand juries to indict people. In most instances, you will be held for trial without a grand jury. And that's just the way the mop flops. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted by the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Well, that sounds nice, but speedy trial doesn't mean what you think it means, because the courts are so backlogged that that doesn't really happen. An impartial jury, well, your attorney is only allowed to exclude so many people, and that really negates the possibility of the jury being impartial. And, well, you're entitled to have counsel, but it's a public defender paid for by the state who's got a massive caseload, and, well, frankly, this is America, and you get the exact amount of justice that you can afford, and by justice, I mean J-U-S-T-U-S, so unless you can afford a dream team, welcome to the penal system, and they spell that P-E-N-I-L-E, unless you're pretty tough. Good luck to you. Watch your for your behind. Let's move on to Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in I forgot something important in Article 5. about private property taken for public use without just compensation? Yeah, that's called eminent domain. If the state wants it, or the county wants it, or the municipal authority wants it, or Donald Trump wants it because they want to build something there, they've decided they're just going to take it and say that it's for their use and for their good, and they can raise tax revenues from it, and then put it to better use, never mind the fact that it's been in the family for a long time. So they're going to take it because they're bigger and stronger and they can outspend you. And that's called Just Us, J-U-S-T-U-S, Justice. And you're just SOL, never mind what the Constitution says. Eminent domain has replaced the Constitution. And Donald Trump believes in eminent domain because, well, he likes to build hotels and stuff. And most states like it when he builds stuff because, well, they can tax him at a higher rate than they can you for your little piddly dwelling. So life's a rot. So anyway, back to Article 7. In suits at common law where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States and according to the rules by the common law. Unless, of course, the judge decides otherwise, because judges do what the damn will please. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Except for the fact that bail has been used as a way to inflict punishment upon people prior to the finding of guilt. And it's most often used in a manner that punishes the poor, not the wealthy, as the wealthy have adequate resources to post bond and adequate collateral, but the poor do not. So this amendment and the excessive bail requirements, when they say bail shall not be, excessive bail shall not be required, is kind of a misnomer. If you punch someone in the face in a bar, and you have assets and money, and your bond is $10,000, you can get out pretty quickly. If you're Joe Lunchbox, you're not going to get out as quickly because you can't come up with the 10% required. Like the guy who drives the Audi, because he has assets and can post bond quicker. So you're going to sit in jail and hope your behindment stays intact. This is not an equal opportunity amendment. It inflicts undue harm on the poor. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. What does that mean? Let's read it again. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. That means that the Constitution and the rights that are retained and construed to deny or disparage others that are retained by the people, you cannot use the Constitution basically to beat and flaunt people out of their natural rights. But the government does this all the time. Oh, you have a Second Amendment right to protect yourself, to possess weapons. Ah, but you're a convicted felon. Well, we're not going to let you have that right. Taking that one from you. Sorry. Yeah, well, they use their enumerated powers in the Constitution to take your rights from you, violating Article 9 all the time. And the courts have upheld it because, well, the courts are part of the government, and the government's run by the Constitution, and they twist it to mean whatever they damn well please. And it goes back to the just us, not justice portion that we talked about earlier. It is time, once again, to give the system an enema. Now we're down to the 10th Amendment. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. Once again, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. Now, nowhere in the Constitution is marriage referenced, yet the federal government thinks it can regulate marriage. Wrong. That's a states' rights issue. But the federal government has inserted itself into a private party issue. Marriage is a state's issue, and if the states don't take it up, it's a private party issue. Just as abortion is a state's rights issue. And if the states choose not to take it up, it's a private party issue. And as a strict constitutionalist, one has to live with that whether you believe in abortion or not. And being a strict constitutionalist, I struggle with that because I'm against abortion morally, but I believe strongly in the rule of law. And the rule of law says it's a state's rights issue. Now, it also says that the federal government has many other areas in which it intrudes into the states. And if you think about them, you'll realize that it comes down to energy, education, housing and urban development, just to name a few. And I'm sure as you go through the list of government agencies, federal government agencies, you'll realize that there are 50 or 60 that you can easily name that the feds have no business overseeing. First and foremost, though, is the Department of Education. The feds need to get their hands off of that. That is a state's issue, and if the states choose not to control it, it is a local issue. So we need control of our government at the local level and tell these feds to get their hands off of our government. Like they said in Planet of the Apes, get your filthy hands off of me, you damn dirty feds. Thought I was going to say something else, didn't you? Ha, ha, ha. Thank you for listening to this first cast of the year. And I have a warning for anybody who would think about infringing upon my God-given natural rights. And it's from my friend, a progressive, Samuel L. Jackson.
Ezekiel 25:17. The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who in the name of charity and goodwill shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness, for he is truly his brother's keeper and the finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee.